giving and operating in God's kingdom. Giving when the world says, "Nah, you won't, you shouldn't do that. That doesn't make sense." Faith will never make sense. Trusting him with your finances, trusting him with your life, it'll never make sense. But your spirit, man, is dying to see God come through in many areas. I love to tell this little thing, I just because it's precious little story before I move on, is my mind. Young man that I know moved to California and was, you know how expensive it is to live in California. So he had this job and he's renting a room, and renting this room, just this room, was like $1,200 a month, and he was getting a good deal where he was living in. And he didn't have a job that paid all that month, all that much. And he said, there was times I didn't know what I was even going to eat. He said, but I still tithe. He said, I tithe 10%, even though I didn't know what I was going to eat. And he said, it got to where I could not wait to see how God was supernaturally going to provide for me. Amen. And so hearing that story and how, and seeing what God went on is doing in that young man's life, as he made a decision, he says, Lord, I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I'm going to give to the Lord. And he says, I have example, I can give you story after story, testimony after testimony, how God supernaturally provided for me. Isn't that wonderful? God's faithfulness. Did you know he's more than faithful? Did you know that he's more than faithful? Let me say one last thing on the word of on finances. I was teaching in a Bible school that we had here some years ago, and I was teaching on finances, on financial stewardship. And even as I was teaching it and teaching these principles, the Lord spoke to my heart, gave me a revelation, even as I was coming out of my mouth, that he says, even our giving, it's all about people. Everything that we do within the kingdom, God's love for people, it's all about people. Oh, how he loves you and I. And so even though we might be operating this sowing and reaping, giving and God blessing us, and we continue to be a giver, why? What is the reason for this? It's all about souls. It's all about people. It's all about blessing people. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to begin here. So if you want to stick around after church, you can ask me some questions. We're going to go over the finances for 2023. And it was a really healthy year for this church. We're so grateful for that. So grateful for that. Amen. Yeah, you want to say something? You have to take this. Can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm pretty loud. I just want to tell you how, when our pastor's talking about money and tithing and stuff, I just want you to know they don't take a salary from this church. Not one penny salary from this church. We would rather bless other people that are hurting and need the money more. They don't take a salary from us. All your money goes to this church and the ministry.
And I appreciate him saying that, but he also knows that's going to change at some point. So don't let that stick in your mind too long. But thank you, because truth is, we do want to pay those who it's biblical. It's just for right now, God kind of just laying. We wanted to lay out a foundation. We wanted to have a vision. And then let the Lord lead us and guide us. So we're not opposed to all those things. Thank you. But the thing is the 3 years that we've been here, believe me, I'm not here to for the money, right? God is more than blessed me and my wife. We're really grateful. It's all about sowing and reaping. Amen? Giving. So let's move. Let's see how far we get on this. Second Thessalonians 1:3. If I had to give this a title today, is Here I Am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And it says, we ought always to give thanks. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is only fitting, because your faith is increasing abundantly. And the love of each other and every one of you toward one another grows even greater. He didn't say just your faith is increasing. He said your faith is increasing what? Abundantly. Amen. That's a good word, isn't it? Abundantly? So he's talking about all this abundance and God growing. What it is, they're growing in the knowledge of God. They're growing in their understanding of God. They're growing in their faith in God, and it's growing abundantly. And so, you know, that faith, I just want to read that word faith and what it meant in the Greek. What's it mean in the Greek? So it's persuasion. I've been persuaded. I am following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm persuaded that my life belongs to him, that I'm pursuing him. I'm persuaded that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm persuaded that he's always with me. Amen. And it also means moral conviction. Did you know faith means moral conviction? And following him and growing in him, understanding what pleases the Lord, understanding what does not please the Lord. Amen? That is part of growing abundantly in our faith. It also means assurance. Blessed assurance. You know that song? Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Do you know who wrote that song? Fanny Crosby. You ever heard of her? A good hymn. It means belief, putting our trust in God. It means fidelity. Now listen, this is amazing. Fidelity, strict observance of promises. A promises. It means, and we're going to see about this Thessalonian church, that no matter what's going on, I've got these promises that I'm not letting go of. It doesn't matter what it looks like in my body. It doesn't matter what it looks like in my finances. It doesn't matter what it looks like in my emotions. I have this strict thing that I'm following, that there's promises that God has for me, and I'm not going to let them go. We go from a strict, you know, in the Old Testament, a strict observance of the law, right? Got to do this, that when we come into the new covenant and who he is, amen, and put in our trust in him, that now I have a strict observance and trusting in the promises of God. Because what does it say? The promises of God are what? Yes and amen. You hear me say that a lot because that's a true scripture. The promises of God are yes and amen. You heard me say many times that I used to get up in the morning and say, man, how I hope I can please the Lord this morning. I hope I can make him happy to this morning, or waking up in the morning saying, Lord, how can I understand and follow your promises? The promises of God that are yes and amen. How can I have a revelation and understand those promises? I don't want to be hijacked by the enemy, by the voice of the enemy or the voice of this world, to believe somehow God is not there with me, that his promises won't indeed come to fruition in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so, you know, this faith increased abundantly. Let me just say this, abundantly during hardships. You would think when you read that first scripture, you think, man, everything's going perfect for the Thessalonians. No, they were going through some real hardships. And so reading that song where it says that firm foundation, did you get a chance to sing that song? Did you get a chance to hear the words of it as you were singing it? No matter what's going on around me, I've got this joy. Basically, that song was talking about no matter which situation you find yourself in, what's going on in your life, it was saying, because of Christ and what Christ is in me, man, I am walking in his joy. I am walking in his strength. I am walking in his faith. I'm walking on solid ground, amen, a firm foundation. Jesus Christ is that solid rock. So as we're singing that song, that sounds like a song that the Thessalonians would have wrote. Because the fact is, all those words that we were singing, they're actually scripture, backed up by scripture. And so when we sing them, we're worshiping the Lord and we're honoring him. But it's also to remind us, if you think about it, of the promises of God for yours and my life as we walk with him. We need people out there who don't know him that can see that God is real. What is one way that they can see God is real? Is seeing his blessing and bounty and strength and peace in our lives. Amen. It really doesn't come of us just walking up necessarily, and we can do this sometime, and in giving a message that can work, but sometimes people need to see that it actually works, that it's actually the truth. They can see it by your life. Amen. That one saying says, hey, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Sometimes with those that we work with, some of those that are around us, amen? They'll say, hey, man, there's something that's different about you. There's something that you have that I would like to know what that's about. Amen? And it's usually the joy, the peace, and the strength of God, right? If we're always grumpy, they'll say, well, I'm not sure what you have, but I've already got the spirit of grumpy. I've already got grumpy. I don't need any more grumpy. Amen. I don't know what you have, but I've already got that, so no thank you. Man, but with the Lord Jesus and him in our lives, amen, people seeing abundance. People need to see that. The abundance of God in our lives. That no matter what's going on around me, shifting, quaking sand, amen, I've got an inner peace and rest and strength that the people say, man, I don't understand. Man, you're giving. How are you so blessed during this time where the finances are unsure? Well, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you what I do, who I'm putting my trust in. Did you know finance is actually the easiest thing to trust God in? That's the first thing. That's the first thing that we have in our hand, money, is when you give your life to God. Matter of fact, people who can never quite trust God with their money, they never seem to really grow in their walk with God. The first thing in walking with God, amen, if you got a spirit of mammon, meaning, man, this is mine. My life and how my life is going to go is dictated by how much of this I have or don't have. But when you realize when God touches your life and you become a giver instead of a taker, but a giver, amen, that's how we can grow into maturity. So now I've learned that when me and my wife will go to a couple conferences a year, instead of folding my arms when they start talking about finances, I start saying, Lord, what do you want me to give here? Or what big number do you want me to give? How are you going to stretch me? How are you going to stretch my faith? Why? Because the Lord taught me, saying, you need to hear sermons about money and take it in and start chewing on that. Go for milk. Hearing a little, we'll let Pastor say a small word about it. But we want to pass on that quickly. We don't realize that sometimes we don't want the meat of the Word of God. Remember we talked about a baby, they give it milk, but start trying to give it something else at first. It's like, no, I don't want that. Did you know that with the truth of the Word of God in the Bible, that we can, as believers, we can be the same way and not even realize it? Had nothing to do with your age. We can remain infants in Christ in certain areas, because as soon as somebody starts talking about that area, we say, I don't like it. We don't realize what we're doing is we're spitting out meat. We're spitting out meat. Lord, may we be a church that does not spit out meat, but that will grow in our salvation, be challenged by the Word of God, have the Spirit of God just working internally constantly, amen, for our benefit, amen. It's for our benefit, for His glory and for our benefit, hallelujah. And so this number one, faith increased abundantly during a hardship. He's talking about how they grew in 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Let's continue. It says, as a result, he's talking about this ever-increasing faith. As a result, we ourselves speak proudly of you, talking to the church there, among the churches of God, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. I know we don't like to talk about that sometimes, but I know there's many people here that have been enduring some afflictions, that have been struggling in some areas of your life. We all have areas that press against us, if we're honest, that we struggle with. Whether it be in your health, even though we know God is the God that healeth thee. Whether it's a struggle in your marriage, amen, you know it should be better, but there's a struggle there, amen. Whether it be in some relationships or your finances, there's areas, whether you're struggling with addiction, whatever it is right now, there might be an area that is an affliction and a hardship in your life. And I'm telling you right now, this is an opportunity for God to do a powerful, mighty thing in your life if you will allow Him. Many times it's afflictions where people finally say, I'm done. I'm tired of this, Lord. I finally say, I'm done. I give my life to you. Sometimes it's many of that. 1 Peter 4 says, and they that have suffered in the flesh are through with sin. Sometimes we have to have enough suffering when we say, I am done. Jesus, I give my life to you. Or for somebody else, they struggle constantly in their finances. And finally they said, you know what, Lord? I'm giving my finances over to you. I'm going to start being a giver. I'm finally done controlling this area of my life. Things that press against us, let me tell you this, is an opportunity for God to reveal his goodness, his power, and his strength in our lives if we allow him. Even in this country, we see everything that's going on is an opportunity for people to say, hey, this is insane. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, my eyes are being opened. I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of what I see going on around me. I'm tired of being in the fear of what's going to happen to this next generation. I believe you're the only one, Lord Jesus, that can change things. It's an opportunity for the people in the world to say, I cry uncle. You ever say that? I give up uncle. Jesus, I give it completely to you. Let me say this. In times where there is hardships or something coming against you, there's definitely an opportunity where God wants to give you revelation. Because then it becomes this. I can't do anything about it, Lord. Where I'm at, I've tried everything to fix this situation on my own. Lord, I give it to you. Did you know that's when true humility, when it says that God opposes the grace, God opposes the proud. Thank you. I'll get there. But gives grace to the humble. Sometimes there's even areas in our own life we've been trying to do it on our own. You ever been there? I have. I remember some weeks back where all these things were kind of weighing on me. And Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to figure this out? I don't feel like I'm capable to do this and this. And finally, the Lord just, through some scriptures I was reading, the Lord just spoke to me and said, man, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then he goes on to say, I am gentle and humble. Jesus said, I am gentle and humble. And when he said that gentle and humble, something just hit my heart. And I said, Lord, I give this to you. And that whole thing that I was carrying, it was just like a big old weight came off of my back. And I said, Lord, how did I let myself get to carrying this? Little by little, I put that backpack back on and put a rock in it and carry that. I got to take care of that. Next thing you know, next day I'll put another rock. It's another concern or something. And I need, you know, help with. And next thing I know, I've got this backpack on my back that's just stuffed with boulders. And finally I say, man, this is heavy. I didn't notice it being heavy a week ago. I didn't notice it being heavy 6 months ago, but I slowly added boulders to this thing, concern and care, to where I have this weight that's on my shoulders. And finally I'm saying, man, I'm having trouble carrying this. That's when I realized, oh, Lord, how did I allow myself to get here? He's so kind. He's so loving. He's so merciful. He's so faithful that he revealed a truth in his word. You know what happened when he revealed that to me? I took that thing off, said goodbye to that. I'm not carrying that anymore. Sheesh. I'm done with that. And all of a sudden, this freedom in my heart and my mind, on my shoulders, just came over me and said, Lord Jesus, I may not have the answers. I can't figure this out. I don't know why my healing hasn't come yet. I don't know why my finances haven't come together yet. I don't know why this situation is the way it is still. But I know that you have an answer, and I trust you, and I pursue you, and I call on your name, and I worship you, and I honor you, Father God. And then you see the Lord bring the answer in that area of your life when you realize those burdens, those things that you carry, are meant to reveal his glory in your life. And then you take another step of growth in your faith in him because you trusted in him. Man, how did the Thessalonians become growing abundantly in their faith? Well, when the hardships came, which we're gonna talk about a little bit, it was society coming against them. It was society that was coming against them. They did not give up on the truth. They did not give up on their faith, and God strengthened them. When they should have been weighed down, no, they were growing and standing up and saying, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. They were growing in their faith abundantly. Let me just encourage you today that whatever might be weighing you down, would you humble yourself and say, Jesus, I need you? Would you say, Jesus, doesn't matter if you don't know him, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. The first step is saying, Jesus, I need you. Give him all your burdens. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen. He goes on to say, man, I am kind. I'm humble. I'm compassionate. I have the answers for you. I wash every sin away. I give you wisdom in areas where you do not have the wisdom. If you'll trust me, I will make you look good. Amen. I want to read some things. And Habakkuk, I'm going to quickly mention this, because the book of Habakkuk, there's three chapters. I just want to mention that in chapter one, but there's no scripture here. He says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, man, violence and everything's going on. Do you see what's going on? That's how Habakkuk starts out. Then in chapter two, he says, I will take my stand at my watchpost, he says, and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. He said, I got some complaints here, Lord. I've been believing for some things, and I haven't seen them come to pass yet. So he went from that complaint to, and then chapter two, he says, man, I have let you know what my complaints are, Lord. What do you have to say? He says, I'm listening. Prophet of God said, he said, I am listening, Lord. I got some complaints here. I'm going to be on my post. What he's saying is, I'm going to stay in prayer here until I hear you give me an answer. And so, but in Habakkuk chapter 3, this is where his heart, see, his situation right then might not have changed. But here's what happened. His posture, his heart posture changed. So this is what Habakkuk, at the end of this book now, after complaining, or after looking at what was going on, and then it's chapter 2, after complaining, this is where his heart went. In Habakkuk 3:17, he says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. The produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Amen. So what happened is his situation might have not changed right then, but his posture of his heart sure did. He said, I don't care what it looks like on the vine trees. I don't care there may not be enough sheep right now or in my pasture, but Lord, I am going to trust you. I'm going to worship you. His posture of his heart. And he said, Lord, you put me in high places, which means I come out of that depression. I come out of those things that are holding me back, and now I see you more clearly than I ever had, because this hardship that was coming against me, I'm above them, walking with you, rejoicing in you, worshiping you, honoring you, Lord, knowing that you'll take care of all those things. But I'm not waiting to see them to worship you. I'm worshiping you now. Hallelujah. He complained. Well, first he saw what was going on. Then he decided to complain and even said to God, he said, well, I'm waiting. Where's the answer? And then what happened? We don't even hear about an answer of God. We hear about his heart posture shifting and saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, you have taken this weight of boulders off my back. If you're waiting for God to answer something, to take that bag of boulders off your back, don't wait. You don't have to. Don't wait for your circumstances to change, because we'll do this all our life. Right? But we refuse to carry those boulders and we worship him, then our heart posture is where it should be. Then when God answers that prayer, when God changes those circumstances, you said, I already knew it. I already knew it. That's called faith. I already knew, Lord, that you were going to do that. I knew already as I worship you, Lord, even though there were the doubts that tried to rise in my heart, I knew that you were going to answer my prayers. I'm not going to go any further this morning because we're going to have a time of communion. I have got much more. I can get to it next week. What do I say about this? Anything that's going on in your life, however, you know how this is how you do it. You say, Lord, Lord, forgive me. I've been responding in the wrong way. Lord, I've been like Habakkuk complaining about this, what I see around me. And Lord, I thank you that you may have a bag of boulders on your back of care, discouragement. Things you've been saying, you don't realize you're carrying them. All of a sudden one day you're like, man, where did this come from? It came day by day by day by day by day until you finally, you feel that. You know what you do? You say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Thank you that I'm just putting my trust in you again. Lord, I trust you for the answers. Lord, I'm going to serve you. Lord, speak to my heart if there's anything else in my life that you want to make a shift and a change in. Sometimes it's just how you're thinking. Other things, it could be the habits, the way you think that produces habits. And say, Lord, I like what I love to say this now. Lord, I am yours to command. Whatever you want to do in my life. I'm not here to defend myself to people. I'm here to speak of his goodness and his grace and his love. And that if you don't know him, he wants to make you a brand new creation. He wants to change you. It doesn't matter, but this is the thing. You have to want to change. You finally have to say, I've had enough. I'm giving you my life. I love it. No matter our background, what we've done or haven't done, Jesus's blood washes every sin away. Matter of fact, the people that loved the Jesus the most when he was on earth were the people that were the biggest sinners. Mary Magdalene, right? Seven. I think Mary Magdalene understood the heart of Jesus more than anybody, understood Jesus more than anybody while he walked on the earth. And he had to cast seven demons out of her. He was willing to cast seven demons out of her. He desired to set her free. See, Jesus is always, he's all about setting the captive free. Religion's always about pointing fingers. Jesus is about setting captives free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Some of the most free, joyous, happy people I know have the craziest testimonies I've ever heard. We had the men's meeting. We had the men's breakfast yesterday. And what's so powerful about that? That was good, wasn't it, brother? Yes, sir. Is being obviously having men together, but we're making it now when we have that on Saturday morning where certain men, Ken's going to be doing it next and be giving his testimony. But to see, what's so powerful to see what God has set people free from. You hear people's testimony, I thought, I would never have thunk that. Well, that's because I'm free. Is that a word, thunk? I think so. It is here, right? To hear what God has set people free from doesn't make me say, oh, my goodness. No, it makes me go, wow, your power, your grace, and your mercy. We're going to take communion, and when we're done with this, if you need prayer for anything, please come up here. We'd love to pray with you. Don't allow this service to go by without allowing the Lord Jesus to minister to you. Amen. A lot of times, just between you and the Lord right there, you can take that bag of rocks off right there. Hey, Lord, I'm not carrying this. You've shown me this. I'm not carrying that bag of rocks anymore. Well, I'm trusting you. It's that easy. Amen. It doesn't have to be somebody praying for you. You can. But you have a relationship with the Lord. You have that Spirit of God living in you. He's speaking to you. He is the one. You're the one that lets that go as his word becomes life in you and strengthens you. You know, let me just say this, that there's been many times, it's just the way life is. I'll get these rocks. They'll keep coming back, this backpack. And I'll say, here I am again, Lord. Got myself anxious, this anxiety trying to come on me. Here I am again. But what's the word of God say? It says, come to his throne of grace. Come to his throne of grace in your time of need. It says, you come to his throne. I can't come to the throne of grace for you. you can come to his throne of grace and say, Lord Jesus, I do not want this heaviness and burden on me any longer. Lord, I give it to you. Choose to let it go. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for ministering to me. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you for your faithfulness, Jesus. You say, Lord, I just let those things go. You say this, but I've done this a million times. We'll do it a million and one times. Just keep humbling yourself and say, I need your help, Lord. Let that go again. I let that go again. Man, he is faithful. You love him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here who doesn't have an element? Raise your hand. Anybody else? Amazing. Only one person? Good job, guys. Amazing. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Bill, I'm in the NASB. I'm going to start in verse 23 if you go there. But this thing, let me just say this so we don't have to deal with this later. Sometimes you have to take this little tab here and bend it down, and bend it back up, and you got to separate. There's a clear covering on top, and you have to pray in the Spirit while you try to separate it. You got to give it a little Rondi Shondi. Not kid. Sometimes you do that and you feel like you want to cuss in tongues. There's got to be a better way. Let me just say this. Can I say this even though we're laughing? Let me just say for some of you, did you know the anointing didn't leave the room when we laughed? Sometimes with religion said, man, we need to laugh more. We need to laugh more. People need to see Christians full of joy and laughing. For some of you, maybe it's been a long time since you laughed. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and laugh. Laugh, laugh, laugh. It's medicine, amen? It's medicine, the Word of God says. Laughter's medicine. Amen? Amen. David Mintz, I was listening to his podcast, and one of the things he mentioned was laughter being medicine. Right, brother? Man, religion won't allow you to laugh because you're always scrutinizing everything. And we need to laugh. Lord Jesus, thank you for the spirit of laughter. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Holy Ghost and laughter in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. We make the kingdom of God about so many things that do not matter. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. I didn't say it. Paul the Apostle said it. So, Lord, we thank you for laughter and joy. Lord, that there be laughter filling our homes, laughter filling our marriages, hallelujah. When we're writing those big checks, man, may we be laughing, amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have your element. For I received, this Paul said, for I received from the Lord Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he's betrayed took bread. Can you lift up the bread? Took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He sacrificed his body on the tree so that you and I could go free. Thank you, Father, for having your feet and your hands pierced for my sins. Lord, we remember that. We remember that you're our righteousness. So we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together. In the same way, he took the cup after supper. Amen. saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. And so it goes on to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What we're saying is, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you paid the price for my sins. You paid the price for my sickness, for my diseases, for mental anguish, in Jesus' name. Everything that would try to afflict me, you paid the price for it. And when those things are coming against me, I trust you because I am more than a conqueror. Thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross. Let's drink together." Do you love them today? Amen. I think they're coming around to collect the cups. If we could stand up together, those who want to stay afterwards, if you need prayer, man, please come up. We'd love to pray with you.
I just want to say to those, if you're not going to stay after, if you don't mind just kind of exiting and visiting in the fellowship hall,
okay.
That way we can answer questions. Thank you.
Okay, so with that, Father God, we thank you for your mercy and your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your blessing upon our lives. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you, Father, for healing your people. Lord, thank you for healing emotions. Father God, that what you're doing, thank you for healing bodies, Father God. Thank you for removing torment of the mind in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for making us whole, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name we pray. All of God's people said, amen and amen.